season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores. Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman. Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman.
Still alive, Dylan T tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal. Orfield. Oh, he's back. The king is back. Scott Orfield. And it's Falkirk return.
Just like trains, we're a little bit late with Falkirk Daft this week due to a points failure at Airdrie and Firhill. The Wayne train, however, is arriving at Platform 1. Ladies and gentlemen, all aboard, and hopefully there'll be no further delays as Falkirk put themselves 8 points clear at the top of the Championship this weekend. Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am your host, John McInally. With me, as ever, the junior god of pod himself, one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Benya.
Mind the gap. That's all I'm going to say.
I've seen a lot of Wayne train gifs, images, AI images that are people are putting the Wayne train together now. It was a huge weekend for the Bairns, absolutely massive. And Ross, you were there. How was it?
Yeah, fantastic. Being at Hampden again, weird but brilliant. Because obviously we were fantastic on Saturday, John. But it was odd being at Hampden for a game where there was like 2,500 people. I missed the November game because it was my youngest daughter's birthday, and so I was thinking about this. I think that was the first time I've been back at Hampden for like a non-cup final, semi-final, or Scotland game since we beat Celtic 2-0 in 1994. Wow. I think that's the first time.
Part free kick.
Yeah, exactly. Nicky Henderson getting a wee brilliant goal as well. But no, it was phenomenal. Always like going to Hampden. As you know, I was there with my daughter and a couple of pals as well. So yeah, it was an expensive afternoon.
I was going to say, did you get stung for the pies though?
Yep. Yeah, it was very expensive.
Pie watch in ages. What was the pie cost?
So no pies. I didn't actually notice the price of the pies. However, Neil Callahan and a few of the other guys were chatting to me in the queue, and they were like, oh, I'm waiting to see what the total is here. But yeah, the hot dogs were like £7, the chips were £5, the drinks were like £4 or £5. It was shocking, really, but I suppose.
And that was for three girls, was it?
Yep, 3 10-year-olds who were very hungry and very thirsty. And
Did you do that whole parent thing? Like, because obviously as a parent, you give your kids money when they're going out with their pals. You know, sometimes other parents will take them out, and then the parent, you know, make sure they get the money, make sure they get it. And then as a parent, you go, oh, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No. We'll sort it. Yeah, exactly.
Man. So about £50 down.
Just under 50.
Jesus, that's an expensive day at Hampden for you.
I was £50 down.
But worth it for the 3 points.
It was very worth it. You've watched the highlights as well. Like Queen's Park's highlights as well showed something like 23 Falkirk chances and just the one chance for Queen's Park. So
I watched that on Falkirk TV. It was glorious. Absolutely brilliant. One of the performances this season. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But let's fly straight in to Bertie Connor. It's going to be an express train, this podcast, because it is currently 10 to 9 on a Tuesday evening. I'm still in work, as you can probably see. It is a little bit, if you're watching the YouTube version, it looks like an Amsterdam establishment at the moment, because I've got the mic up, so it's all red lights. If I put the mic down, it turns blue. But there you go.
It's a bit, do you remember I don't know if they still do them. Do you remember those late night phone-ins, and it would just be like a woman with a phone, like tapping it against herself. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting from...
Listen, if you want to get your calls in, I'm here all night. But let's fly through the podcast and let's fire straight into Birthday Corner. Happy birthday, Phil. Now, I'm going to make it louder. Not Phil Lauder, Phil Lauder. Is it Lauder or Lauder? I keep getting confused because they shouted out, I think it's Phil Lauder, because then you should... No, it's Lauder. but then they're messing with my head. So happy birthday, Phil, a regular at Falkirk Daft. Live news on that coming up. And that's from Big Scotty, your pal. Good lad, Scott. End up back at his after the first Falkirk Daft Live drinking whiskey in his little man hut, which is absolutely brilliant. But Phil and Jack as well is Andrew. Phil's son, and that comes from everyone wishing you a happy birthday, Phil. So happy birthday.
Indeed, happy birthday, Phil. We've also got a message from Andrew. This is another Andrew who says, can I get a happy 59th birthday shout out for my dad, Gordon Will? He was the guy that was dancing around with the captain's armband at John's charity auction, and he was very chuffed that he's gave him a mention. So big happy birthday.
Good lad, good. Another one coming here. Hello again, Dafties. Apologies for the late message. I was hoping to get another shout out for Birthday Corner, this time for my daughter Enid, who'll be 8 years old on the 23rd of March. That's 5 days away. Last Easter, my son Harris had been unwell, so was unable to travel to Montrose. On hearing there was a spare ticket available, Enid jumped at the chance of going, probably because she knew, as all kids do, there's a McDonald's on the way there. But on the drive to Montrose, she was quite excited. She even got the thought about getting a chance to go on the pitch. As we're ready to get leave, I started to think, how to explain that to a wife? We'd be late getting home due to our high jumps in the pitch. I needn't have worried though. I checked my phone for messages. First one I opened from my wife saying, please tell me you've taken Enid on the pitch. Phew! So he got away, got her on the pitch, and memories were made on that day, as were so many memories made at Montrose. And they were in about it on the pitch. So that's a happy birthday to Enid, creating memories up at Montrose. And that is from mum, dad, and brothers Luke, Keegan, and Harris. There you go. There you go. I thought on Birthday Corner, I have to have a shout out to my brother for this one. He said, why don't you do experience? So here we go. Let's say happy birthday to some experience. On the 17th of March, which was yesterday, Darren Barr turned the ripe old age of what, Ross?
40, I can't believe he would be 40.
40 years old, former captain Darren Barr, 40 yesterday. Here's a couple of a name for you. Today's birthday on Birthday Corner, Bairn's Birthday Corner. Tom Owen Evans, what age is the toe?
Apparently, he's 28.
Oh, see, I've realised what I've done here, because I wanted to do that traditional radio thing of writing that, you know, you've got to guess the age of the person. I've sent you the sheet, so you know exactly who the age is. Right, I'll correct that for the next time. Rory Loy is 37 tomorrow, actually. That's Wednesday the 19th. And big happy 60th birthday to Ooh-Ah Richie Cadet. 21st Friday, he turns 60. Who would have believed that? Richie Cadet turning 60.
He can't be 60. He still feels like a 25-year-old running about Broughton, to be honest.
Well, it makes you feel old, doesn't it? And Alan Ferguson, 56. I'm sure they'll really enjoy us out in their ages here as well. And remember Blaine Rowe?
Barely, yes, I do. Yes, Blaine Rowe.
Right,
he was born from Coventry, wasn't he?
A couple of seasons ago, he's turned 23. Currently playing on loan at Stourbridge, on loan from Headness Town. So that's where Blaine is at the moment. Remember, there was all sorts of rumours that him and Morrison didn't like each other, you know, when he was playing back. I thought he was a decent right back. I remember him. He was all right.
Yeah, no, to be fair, as we now know, it probably wasn't an issue with Blaine.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, happy birthday to all those Bairns and Bairn supporters on Birthday Corner. Right, Falkirk Daft Live. We've got to talk Falkirk Daft Live. Since we last spoke on the podcast, we put tickets on sale for the next live show. And as ever, guys, we've got to say thanks so much. I can't believe we've sold it out again. Behind the Wall, it is happening. Last game of the season, 2nd of May, kicking off at 5 o'clock till 7, and then we're all heading down to the game after that. And it sold out in pretty much less than 5 minutes, because there was a couple of people that had the tickets in their basket that didn't pay for them. So it was a shame, because we could have said less than 5 minutes, but it was actually 20 past nine by the time the tickets sold out. But so thank you, each and every one of you, for buying tickets for that. A lot of fight back, people saying, I didn't get tickets. You need to be quick to get the tickets. So yeah, it's going to be a great night. And I'm really sorry if you didn't get tickets. We will let you know if if and when they come available, because mostly we'll get a couple of refunds and cancellations. So keep your ears out and eyes out for that, and we'll let you know when that happens. But Ross, really looking forward to this one.
I really am. Obviously, everything Falkirk related just now is like phenomenal, isn't it? So, like, every game we're all desperate for to just.
I mean, I'm not coining in on the popularity of Falkirk at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It needs to happen. And obviously, we're very, very, very hopeful that that evening is also going to be a special night for the club. It's obviously a bit too soon for us to know about that just yet, but. Yeah, it would be a phenomenal night if Falkirk Daft Live preceded potentially a trophy night.
It would be absolutely amazing. It would be brilliant if we had the trophy in the bag by then. But as we said, win or lose, we're on the booze. That is our subtitle for Falkirk Daft Live 4. And it's time to reveal the guests. We have a drum roll.
There we go.
See, I'm in a radio studio. There should be a button I could hit right now to play a drum roll, but it is not readily available to me. But I will say, the first guest we will reveal coming to Falkirk Daft Live 4 to review the season, Craig Telfer, right? Now, I wonder, you're all thinking, Craig Telfer, aye, that boy for the tennis TV, you know, the one that's hipsters talking about football. Aye, well, yeah, Craig's going to come along. He's been on this podcast before. He's a really good lad, Craig. Obviously, a Stennis Muir supporter. And yeah, he will be at Falkirk Daft Live 4 reviewing the season. And he will be doing that alongside Jambo Bairn himself. Ewan Cameron makes his return to Falkirk Daft Live. He helped us out last season when Ross couldn't make it. So Ewan Cameron and Craig Telfer, in wrestling terms, they are a bunch of heels, Ross. Now, that means they are baddies. So they'll be on stage to talk about Falkirk and the season we've had. Me and Ross will be talking about getting your moments as well from the crowd. Looking back, we'll also have the Falkirk Daft Live Awards on that night, where we'll decide on player of the season, goal of the season, and we'll throw in our couple of awards along the way as well. Looking forward to it.
No, listen, that's going to be phenomenal. Dafty of the year will be announced that night as well, won't it?
Yeah.
I think so. Weirdly, both Ewan and Craig are absolutely buzzing for this. Obviously, non-Falkirk fans, but they are very, very... what's the phrase? They're very excited to be in a room with 220 Falkirk fans.
It's going to be very, very good. They're going to absolutely heal it up. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to Craig and Ewan at Falkirk Daft Live. Then, we don't stop there. Ross Fairley is going to come along and do a couple of tunes and rock out the house at for the halftime interval. So we'll get some tunes from Ross. Obviously, well known to a lot of Bairn supporters, massive Bairn supporter. He's going to rock out, and I'm pretty sure and confident that Ross will have a couple of belters up his sleeve, Ross.
I think he will. Now, Ross Fairweather is a legend amongst Falkirk fans. And I noticed tonight, whilst we're recording, he has put up a picture on Facebook. And it says here, I was down at the stadium today to record some stuff with the Falkirk players for some new music that's in the pipeline. Honestly, the vibe down there is unreal. What a time to be a Falkirk Bairn. Okay. Got this picture of a couple of good Falkirk boys. And there he is with Mr. Scotty Arfield.
Good lads.
So, yeah, no, Ross is phenomenal. He will give 15, 20 minutes of top-class Falkirk tunage before our next guest, John Boy.
Yes, absolutely. We had a deep and meaningful conversation. There was a few names in the pipeline, but there was one name we both agreed on. We thought, let's see if he's up for it. So the one, the only, Captain Invincible himself, Stephen McGinn, will be at Falkirk Daft Live 4 to talk. And it's brilliant to go. Obviously, Stephen just retired at the end of last season, so he still knows a lot of the squad. Obviously, lifted the trophy as an Invincible last season. And it's going to be, I think, his first time back, really, in Falkirk and doing something like this. So it's going to be a lot of questions. I can't wait to speak to Stephen, Ross.
Yeah, me too. There's so much to talk about from that Invincible season. I'm sure he's got loads of behind the scenes sort of stories that maybe haven't come out yet. And he's obviously...
We want to find out about Ibiza in the end of the season as well.
We do. Apparently, he was the man that knew everyone, so he must have some tales to tell. And then obviously he's made his way into the media. And he's obviously a regular on a lot of the BBC shows just now as well. And we obviously we shared his take on the whole sort of Callum Morrison episodes a couple of months back. So I wonder if that may come up in conversation as well.
I imagine it would be. So looking forward to welcoming Stephen McGinn. And then it's off down to the stadium and then back up to Behind the Wall for a party. If you haven't booked your bus for, if you're coming to Folk Daft Live for, buses are available. Brian, our friend, our sponsor, is putting on 4 buses that night. So get your name in for Brian. I put my name down because I thought, I would get left off the bus. I thought I better get my name down because it would just be like that. Doing the show and then just like, hi, can I get down to the bus?
Yeah, so
get
one of those drop the mic moments and just leave.
We'll absolutely. Everyone's going to be like that, straight out of the stadium. And hopefully, like Ross says, we'll be hopefully seeing something special on that evening. And then back to Behind the Wall for Falkirk Daft Venoms afterwards. Fantastic. Talking about lifting cups, we lifted one during the week there. The Stirlingshire Cup is back where it belongs in the Falkirk Trophy Cabinet. I believe it's the second old, one of the, I think I'm right saying, second oldest cup in world football.
That's, and yes, which feels insane that that's a thing. But yeah, the second oldest trophy that was ever made in world football. So there you go. It is a beautiful looking trophy. Obviously, I know Ruby, photographer and videographer, to many, well known on social media. She sent us on a video of it getting literally put into the trophy cabinet after the game. It was nice to see, because obviously for those who were sitting in the Kevin McAllister stand, saw fuck all of the trophy presentation because it was one of the worst organised presentations ever. I don't actually think it would have been the club, because I know the Stirlingshire FA are a deal with that side of things, but you saw nothing, John.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, they put a table on the concourse outside the director's box.
Because surely if they did it where FTV, you know, where Dave and the Tannoys are normally set up, that would probably been a better place to do it.
That would have helped, but they didn't. So everyone who was in the main stand then sort of converged on the middle bit.
Right.
And then you would have assumed, again, they would have maybe have brought the trophy round to the KM stand. A lot of the fans had stayed behind, but it wasn't. There was some pictures taken at the tunnel, and then that was about it. So it was a bit of a weird...
that's not great.
But it might not have been the club. It could have been the Stirlingshire FA who was responsible, but it was odd. So it was nice to see the pictures and the videos post-match.
Yeah, no. 5-1-1. It was... Like that first half was Falkirk just at their devastatingly best. Obviously, a mixture of some first team players. Great to see Finn Yeats wearing the captain's armband and lifting the trophy as well, by the way. Yeah. Alfie Aguiman was playing, Miller Thompson was playing. Luke Graham got a run out as well. So it was great to see some first teamers in amongst, you know, players that are really, really impressing just now. You know, we're talking about McCrone, Honeyman. A lot of people shouting out Walker as well. Reece Walker said he looked absolutely outstanding tonight. But Scott Honeyman, you know, as well as Aguiman and Thompson getting their goals, Scott Honeyman getting a hat trick. Well, sort of hat trick.
Yeah, no, it was three brilliant finishes. Aguiman got a very, very quick goal, a very typical Alfie goal as well. Miller Thompson's strike from distance was an absolute peach. So, do you know, I thought we were very professional. And what was great to see as well, this is the development squad mixed in with the first team. They play exactly the same way as the first team. And I believe from the guys who go and regularly watch the under-16s and under-18s, it is exactly the same. Yeah. We play the Falkirk way. That's what we do.
Which is great to see. I mean, that's how it should be. It should come right down the youth ranks so we can progress up the level. So brilliant. Stirlingshire Cup win. The Stirlingshire Cup. I'm in hospitality, so I'll get to see it on...
Oh, you jammy bugger. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I'll get to see it on Saturday. They cleared out, if you've ever been in hospitality in the boardroom, they've cleared out the whiskey bottles now, and they've now managed to get the Stirlingshire Cup there, so it looks a little bit better with the two cups sitting there, League One and the Stirlingshire Cup now. A couple of bits from the club. Falkirk golf days happening again Thursday 24th of April. Get your spaces for that. It's down at Glen Bervie, and of course all the proceeds going to the Falkirk Academy. Ross, you're a golfer, aren't you?
I talked about this last season
as well.
Yeah, no, I am. I've not played regularly in a long, long time though. It used to be something that I did a lot, but no, it has been a while. However, like most things, I'm sure I would get back into the swing of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So yeah, if you want to get involved, all the details are on the website for the 24th of April. If you need a caddy, me and Ross are readily available for that.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. I'd be doing that.
We'll go and caddy for someone and just a couple of beers and are like for walking about with a couple of beers. Yeah. That sounds like a great plan. The FFC, the official podcast, not this unofficial nonsense that you're listening to now, is available now. Episode 19. Colin, brilliant guy, professional host, a lot more professional than us two. He is in conversation with Sean Skelly and Lewis Dixon and Paddy Haney, the commercial team. So I've not listened to it yet, but I'm sure Colin always does a great job in those, and be interested to see what the boys have to say.
No, I gave it a listen when it came out on Friday, I think it was. And the boys all come across very, very eager to bring lots of ideas to the table, which will be announced very, very soon. We're obviously chatting to them about something as well, which we'll find a little bit more information in the next 10 days or so as well. But their enthusiasm is so infectious. And I think the job that was done by the two Grahams and Paddy previously is just being that legacy's been carried on. It really is.
Great. Give that a listen if you can. And this sounds very familiar. The Heritage Seas is happening at the Brockville Bar, 28th of March. Listen, I'm saying that tongue in cheek. Yeah, they're doing some live events down in the Brockville Bar now. And obviously, it's great stuff because the money all goes into the club as well. Darren Barton, who's just turned 40, we just mentioned them, and Mark Stewart are going to be down there on the Friday, 28th of March. You can get tickets now. There's going to be a pie buffet. We'll start at 7 o'clock with speakers beginning at 8 o'clock. I believe Stevie Jackson, the one and only Stevie Jackson, is hosting that. So if you didn't get a ticket for Falkirk Daft Live, this would be a brilliant little present for someone. Get down to that if you can. Brockville Bar, Friday the 28th of March, and that is the new Heritage Series. So I think there's going to be a few more of those coming up. Ross, we better book all these guests before, you know, they all get in amongst them and get all the good stories, you know?
That's it. But no, that sounds like a belter. And it is on the weekend of a free weekend, because obviously the Livingston game is next Tuesday. So we now no longer have any game on Saturday. So yeah, listen, hopefully it's packed out. I'd like to hope I can get down as well, to be honest. I think that sounds a belter. Darren Barr and Mark Stewart, obviously he got name checked. I saw with Scott Arfield.
He's one of his best pals in football, Mark Stewart and John Lundstrom. What a pairing that is. Apparently Mark Stewart's really, really good banter. I've heard that. So I would imagine, and Darren's brilliant as well. I've seen him at a couple of things. So that'll be a great night. So get yourself down to the stadium for that, the Brockville Bar. Just want to talk a wee bit about the Ultras. They've released a statement. This is following up from all the trouble there was at the Old Firm at the weekend, some of the policing. And it was a bit heavy-handed. You know, a lot of people, Celtic, complained, I believe, about just a bit of heavy-handedness. Obviously, Rangers supporters being allowed back into the stadium, so it was ultra-secure at the Old Firm. But kind of Ultras have jumped on this as well, and saying Ultras 1876 condemns the behaviour and conduct of Police Scotland, and we oppose false criminalisation of football fans across Scotland. Since the start of the season, we as a group have faced several incidents of unnecessary, heavy-handed policing, unreasonable stop and searches of youngsters, and restricting our freedom of movement, association and assembly. The United Kingdom has a proud tradition of policing by consent. Police Scotland does not have our consent to this kind of behaviour. Then they've listed a few examples of what's happened. Airdrie versus Falkirk just a couple of weeks back, Hamilton versus Falkirk, and Dunfermline versus Falkirk as well. Everyone's going to have an opinion on this. My opinion is I really do think there's a lot of heavy handedness, and football fans are targeted. You know, you hear some stories of people going to the matches with their kids and things like that, and just the heavy handed tactiness. Now, listen, there's no... The Ultras is no full of angels. Let's not get this wrong. Any Ultras group is going to have that association. I think, you know, with the vibe, with the, you know, the silks, with the black jackets and all that sort of stuff, they're always going to have that, I guess, in the police's view, that kind of security risk, right? And there might be a couple of bad eggs amongst them. And, you know, if I completely get it, if they're, you know, people are doing something that is criminal, you know, absolutely the police steps in. But I do think there is a bit of heavy handedness when it comes to these situations. And certainly saw the pictures from the weekend. You know, like you say, that there's it's not going to be a gang of angels, but
no,
you know,
the pictures coming out of that now in the media from Sunday are brutal. Like hundreds of police surrounding groups of guys, children as well. Let's not forget some children in there. It is way, way over the top, and this overzealous, almost way of going about things is dripping into the stewarding at a lot of stadiums as well, John. Like Saturday there, there was kids and get searched going into Hamden. Like what's that? Like as in I'm talking like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old kids being searched. That's ridiculous. And then you saw that at the end as well, which we might talk about when we're talking about the game.
Yeah.
Bloody Brad just trying to give the armband over and he's getting stopped by Queen's Park security. The stewards not letting the kids down the front at like 92 minutes. It's brutal.
It seems to be football fans are treated, you know, a bit of a special case in some cases, you know. Like people just going to the match, they just want to enjoy themselves. Now listen, if there is, you know, criminal activity or whatever, absolutely, you know, you should step in and what have you. But like you say, it's just not like young laddies just going to see the football and creating a bit of an atmosphere. But there seems to be, you know, football fans definitely, I would say, get a lot harder as well. So fair play for the ultras coming out and making a statement.
And I think that example they shared of the Dunfermline game, John, it just reeks of the police being far, far too over zealous on the day. Because what is it, 7 Falkirk fans were arrested that day, and all 7 have been banning orders have been overturned. So that there you go. It's a nonsense that somebody decided on the day, I don't like the look of you, you're going to get lifted, and then nothing comes of it. So, fair play.
I mean, there'll always be a debate out there about it. You know, there's people out there within the support that just think the ultras are a bunch of wee young neds or what have you, you know. But let's face the facts, ever since the ultras have been active, look at our success on the park, you know, and a lot of obviously to do with the players and the management. But you'll always notice in John McGuinn's interviews, the first thanks he gives is to the supporters.
Yep.
You know, in the atmosphere, the players refer to the atmosphere the boys have brought to the home ground. We talked about last week, Sandy, you know, buying out the football club, buying out the Kevin McAllister stand and, you know, creating that Hope Street environment. And that's what's happened. That's what's happened. It's all thanks to the boys in the ultras that made
it
that
really
happen.
Is. Like they swelled that crowd last Tuesday at the Stirlingshire Cup final as well, John. There was nearly 2,000 people at the game and there must have been 300 or 400 of the ultras in their usual section. If I can, I hope they fancy coming along to the women's game on Sunday as well.
Absolutely.
Get out of their beds. But yeah, what a difference they do make to every home game at the stadium.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just about sensibilities on both sides, both from the police and from the ultras, and just finding that relationship, you know, that it works for everyone, because it's about being sensible on both sides, you know what I mean? So fair play for the ultras coming out and making that statement. And talking of the Women's Day, Falkirk Daft Women's Day happening at the stadium this Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff. Get down there to see the girls against Renfrew Ladies. We're aiming to get the biggest crowd down there at the stadium on Sunday. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff. I'm going to take my daughter down there as well. Adults, £4. Under 12s are for free. And if you're a member of the Falkirk Foundation, you get in for free as well. And Anna, our pal, our captain, is going to be giving the armband to one special child on the night.
Dave. She is. Yeah, she is. That's going to be brilliant. A wee nice wee gesture at the end. And we've got Dave Mack, the stadium announcer. He's going to be there.
Oh, it's Dave doing a bit. Lovely.
We reached out to Dave, so he's coming along. So turnstiles will open at 1 o'clock. The tunes will be pumping. The requests have came in from the girls. I reached out to Anna. She's got requests in. They've got their walkout music ready. They've got their... hopefully they need it, their goal music as well. Because that was one thing Shannon and Anna were telling us at the live event that we did in February, that at home games, they don't have any noise. And there is sometimes where they'll go in an away game, especially if it's in a stadium, and there will be that little bit of music in the background. And it does make all the difference. So it would be amazing if we could get a few hundred people down to the stadium. The girls have had nothing like that crowd-wise over the last year or so. So if we could get a few hundred or more into the stadium, it would be brilliant. I know Scotland are playing later on in the day. However, if you are at a loose end and fancy coming along, £4 for, as you said, for adults, under 12s, and members of the Falkirk Community Foundation.
Yeah, it's a warm up for the Scotland game. Scotland game kicks off at 5, doesn't it? So it does. Get yourself down to the Falkirk Stadium. We'll see you down there. Really looking forward to it and getting behind the women. Come on, the girls. Right, let is I did it again, didn't I? I saw your face.
I thought about it. Yeah, I was just thought he's not going to say it. He's just going to move on.
I'll move on swiftly that and say thank you very much.
It was the arm movement that made me smile.
Let's move on swiftly and thanks our sponsors and talking about getting down to the Falkirk Stadium for events. The Lava Cup is coming very, very soon with the Falkirk football fans in training. TH, get down there on a Monday, 8 till 9. Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30 if you want to get involved. Looking to get fit again, make new pals. Just bin off the old pals. They're annoying anyway. Make new pals with the Falkirk football fans in training. And if you're not up for the Falkirk football fans in training, you're not up for that pace yet, you can always join the Superverts football. And it's strictly over 50s, 8 aside. And that happens at the stadium 5 to 6 on a Friday. So if you are over 50, and it's in tandem with the walking football team as well. So if you fancy doing that, Friday 5 to 6 at the stadium, get in touch. All the details are below, as they say in the YouTube. Click through and get in touch with Ian, Willie or Dougie, and they will get you into the fold and in time for the Lava Cup, which is coming very, very soon. And we'll have all the details. Clubs from around Europe coming to the Falkirk Stadium. And it's a brilliant occasion, Ross.
It is. Really looking forward to it. You and I went down last year. And in the build-up to it, like we're talking about with the girls for Falkirk Daft Day on Sunday, I am sure we will give the boys as much publicity as they can to try and get a good number of people along to watch. And it is a good laugh. It's brilliant watching the boys all play. Loads of teams from across Europe as well, as you said. And if I am going to blow the trumpet, we have the potential Champions League placers, Nottingham Forest, coming up for it as well.
There you go. Right, that is all the club news. Let's get into the football now, though, and let's talk about Falkirk versus Queen's Park on Saturday. 3 points coming back to Falkirk from Hampden. The team completely unchanged from the Dunfermline match. And like Ross said earlier on, about 1,700 Falkirk fans making the trip to the National Stadium. Ross, you were there. What was it like? Talk to me.
It was just brilliant, honestly. Like, from start to finish, we were on it, John. It was classic Falkirk under John McGlynn. I assumed it would be an unchanged side, subject to any injuries, which it was. Really strong bench again when you look at it.
I don't think after the win against Dunfermline, would there be any kind of changes you would have made from, unless you're looking to rest players? But I thought it was a really good performance against Dunfermline. So
it was, obviously, in terms of as we started the match, he could have had a couple of goals before he went off. But as we know, Big Barney, and as you said in the other podcast, he has to be followed up by Big. Big Barney had an ankle knock. I was chatting to his dad, brilliant guy, Pete. I was speaking to him before the match. He came over and having a blether with him. He had his lad's shirt on at the stadium as well. Because obviously, they live in London, and he was like, I can't not come and see Barney play at the National Stadium. Because Peter's obviously proper Scots guy. And he was brilliant chat for 5-10 minutes. But yeah, he had said Barney had an ankle knock. So it is a shame that he's went off. Hopefully, we've not heard any more for the club, but hopefully he will be okay for the games coming up. But we started very brightly again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the only question. It was if it's Barney or maybe Gary that would have kind of switched, or maybe Ross or even Brophy's fit. Even Brophy's fit again. He was on the bench. Who knew?
Yeah, it was great to see him on the bench as well. It was.
I know. But, I mean, Barney, that goal he had chopped off, I still can't work out how that was offside.
I don't think it was. But when you watch it from, and I know it's not in line with it, but when you watch it, the Queen's Park defender is 100% closest to the goal line. It is not Barney. 100%. Yeah. So, yeah. I know Barney said as much in social media, I suppose he would, after the game Saturday night. He was saying the same, should have counted.
I absolutely should have.
But it was, and big Tom getting his big strong header at first though. Before
we'll talk a bit about Tom a bit later on. I'm very much looking forward to that. But yeah, no, it should have been. I go and at that point going, all right, okay, you know. But we started off 100 miles per hour. Then we got the penalty. Well, there was a couple of chances well before it. You know, with Barney again, like having a good few chances as well. You know, headers, racing through and go and having his effort saved. You know, Barney really looked alive.
The effort that was clawed off the line, John, by
Callum Ferry.
Wow,
yeah.
Like what a save that was.
His way bounced back up and just clawed it, you know. It was incredible. So felt so sorry for Barney. Goal disallowed. Then those two saves, and it's just like, oh, poor guy. Poor guy, but it's going to come for it. You know, I'm just glad he's off the mark because that kind of stuff weighs in your mind, you know.
Exactly.
So I'm just quite happy he got off the mark against Airdrie, and he should have had a goal. Let's be honest, he should have absolutely had that goal. So we were just flying, Ross. It was just like the performance was incredible, even in that first half.
It was. We were relentless, which is a word we've used loads over the last season and a half. And you just felt it was coming. And we'd been so close 3-4 times, as you said, Barney with a couple, Big Tam had a chance as well. And then we get the penalty. And it was a penalty. Like, I know there was a
bit... Oh, it was an absolute penalty.
Scotty well, lifts the ball, though. And you think Scotty's going to take the penalty.
Uh-huh.
But no.
Captain Brad, do you think Captain Brad's overruled him?
I assume a conversation was had, and obviously I can imagine there was a conversation post-match as well, but on the pitch there was definitely some sort of chatter, but yeah. You know, like I know Brad's, his last couple haven't went in, right? However, he is the penalty king normally, and he has been, right?
Well, you see that, remember he missed against Hamilton, now he missed, but he was able to tap it in.
Yes, and obviously, I think there was the miss against Thistle that Scotty scored, remember. So you could argue, right, there's the three. But listen, you can't take Alloa away from him last season.
Let's face it, he did score the greatest penalty in Falkirk's history. Like, so,
what a pair of Rosenham he must have had that.
I think Brad might be off the penalties, though, if we get a penalty. I am pretty confident it's Mr. Arfield that will be grabbing the ball and not getting it taken off him. I saw Brad on social media, actually, he said, shit penalty.
He did.
The wee poo emoji. He was quite.
I was just confused though, because we were at the time, and it wasn't until you watch it back. But at the time, we were like, "Well, he's not hammered it, but it's also not soft enough that it's a Panenka." He literally just almost like passed it into Calaveri's hands. Now, see for that boy, like that boy is a brilliant keeper in my opinion. He's very good shotstopper.
I would say the best, probably the best keeper in the division.
Yeah, he's up there. And I think, and that's weird to say considering he let four goals in, right? But it wasn't down to him. However, I think against him, low and hard into the corners, because he's not the tallest of boys, think he would struggle to get a penalty right in a corner. And
if he hit the penalty like he did against Alloa every time, no one's stopping that.
No one's stopping it. But when you watch it back, it isn't a Panenka. He's not hammered it. It's just passed it into his arms, basically.
It was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen. It was literally, because like you say, you think, oh, he's going to put it. No, he's just actually side-footed it. Callum Ferry was just standing there.
I don't think Callum Ferry could have... picked a better situation for that to happen. But you just felt, even though that happened...
I was worried, I'll be honest with you, I was worried at that point because I thought, right, we've had a goal ruled off, my Brad's penalty saved. But you know what I'm like,
yeah,
Ross?
I'm a warrior.
So I was worried that, oh God, it's going to be one of those days. Oh no, please don't make it one of those days. But we got our lead. And it was that man, back post Henderson, yet again, great ball in from Keelan Adams to the back post. And there he is, back post Henderson, always there. You will look back at all the goals that Liam Henderson scored, and it is always at that back post in that position. You think back to all the Liam, apart from that stunner against Partick Thistle earlier on in the season. But most of Hendo's goals are at that back post, and either sneaking in from a corner, or like he did, having that late run into the box and brilliant ball from Keelan Adams to find them.
It was just before we big up Hendo. Keelan Adams was back to his very best on Saturday.
I think he has been over the last couple of weeks, to be honest.
He has been far, far more consistent. But that run and ball into the box was just perfect for Hendo. And as you said, you wanted no one else at the back post. Loved his celebrations. No idea what it was all about either.
Some sort of, I mean, I don't know if it was a devil or a donkey or what he was doing.
Not sure, but he ran towards the usual camera videographers and stuff as well, so they all caught that. But it was well deserved. We could have been 3 or 4-0 up at half time, John, and we probably should have been, really.
I know, usually we'll reflect on obviously the opposition team as well and the chances, but Queen's Park offered absolutely nothing.
No, they didn't, but we didn't let them at all. If we play like this every game, and I know that's easier said than done, but if we were to play like that every single game between now and end of the year, we will have this wrapped up in about 2 or 3 weeks' time.
Yeah. I thought it was incredible. Move on to the second half, which is, you know, we did well in the first half. Second half, it was just, the Falkirk were untouchable, absolutely untouchable. Gary Over, great move, great passing. And great to see Gary goes back on the score sheet, Ross.
Very much so. He actually, weirdly, when Barney went off, which was, what, 5-6 minutes before halftime, Gary actually made almost an immediate impact just with his interchange and play, hold up play, driving us forward. And he started off the second half just in the same vein. Brilliant, brilliant goal. Again, fantastic. I think Sean Mackey got the ball over, didn't he? And just a lovely, lovely finish by Gary getting in at the back post. And he loved, you could tell it meant a lot to him because it's Hampden as well, right? So it's a special place to score. But he absolutely loved it. The fans are shouting his name. Like, it must be amazing being a Falkirk player just now with the crowds loving everything that you're doing. Absolutely everything that you're doing.
Gary Over in that false nine role, I always just think he does so well because we'll talk about him in a minute, but Calvin Miller, Jesus Christ, so good. Mm. But like, he brings out the best in the wingers, brings out the best in Ethan, brings out the best in Calvin Miller, Thompson, Agumon, when he drops into those deep positions and they can get forward. Gary Over, again, I just think he's such a good player to have in your side. He's just such a brilliant option if you're looking for something different. And at the moment, we do have those different options in striking roles because you've got Ross. We know what Ross can do. Very similar role to what Barney does. Yep. Eamon, we've not seen yet, but I got a feeling he's that kind of fox in the box, you know, get on the shoulder kind of striker as well. So we've got different options to get us through these last 7 games. But I thought Gary, I love seeing Gary play. He's got a brilliant football in mind. You know what I mean? He's got that really, really good, smart, intelligent player, and brilliant to see him getting on the score sheet. But let's talk about Calvin Miller. I noticed Jamie Swinney, CEO, said one of the best individual performances I've seen in a Falkirk shirt. Absolute masterclass. Do you agree?
I do. And he put absolutely everything into that performance. You know how sometimes Calvin will look as if he's shattered, right? On Saturday, you could tell, yes, he was absolutely shattered, but he kept going. And he ran that right wing brilliantly. What a guy. Like, genuinely, what a guy. And if anybody deserved a goal on Saturday, to top off a fantastic performance, it was Calvin Miller. And that was one of the sexiest little dinks you've ever seen. See, especially from our angle where we were sitting, we were right behind it, so you could see it perfectly just lifting over Callum Ferry into the net. And it was beautiful, and the celebration sliding in his knees, and just ideal.
I need to mention from the first half as well, of just when I was looking down at my notes as well, I forgot to mention Scott Arfield's wee pass in amongst to get Barney through. Oh my god, that was delicious. Absolutely delicious. And just Scotty again, he just comes in and out of games, doesn't he? You know, he obviously fired straight away when he returned, as we know, but the moments of brilliance that he pops up with and does, no other player on that team can do what he does. Do you know what I mean? So
I totally agree, John. His vision is phenomenal. His distribution, yeah. And he doesn't waste a pass. And again, he probably wasn't the star man on Saturday, but do you know what? He has star quality moments every single game. And he has to be probably one of the first names on the team sheet. You build a successful side this season and hopefully next year around Scott Arfield.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So 3-0 up, and then we ring the changes. Resting, we could afford to bring off Ethan Ross, Calvin Miller and Scotty as well. Miller-Thompson, Aidan Nesbitt and Agyeman coming on for them. But, you know, again, I keep feeling so sorry for Aidan as well, because he's obviously, you've just said Scott Arfield's first name on the team sheet. That used to be Aidan's position. It used to be Aidan as the first name in the team sheet. And, you know, obviously, I guess you go into that star power and go back to what I said about there's nobody else in Falkirk team that can do some of the things that Scott Arfield does. So you feel sorry for Aidan in that regard. But he came on, he did just as well. He was really good.
No, listen, there's no let up there at all. We brought on quality for quality. And Aidan, as he always does, came on and dictated a lot of that midfield play. Like, he's so energetic, as we know anyway, whether he starts a game or comes on. But he puts himself about. Like, the amount of running he does on and off the ball is perfect for what we need. And as you said, like, a minute ago, you know what you're getting with him. And it is definitely quality coming on. Our bench, like, that's nine starters that could easily come on. There was people who couldn't even get in the squad. Leon McCann couldn't even get in the squad unless he was injured. I know there was a bit of chat about, I think his wife's maybe expecting. And,
right. Okay.
So I don't know whether that was thought into the play at all, but it just shows you the size of the squad now that we've got pretty much everybody back, with the exception of Dara O'Connor. It's huge.
Yeah. Talking about the left-back situation, we've not mentioned, you mentioned briefly Sean Mackey and his cross over to that post. As I said last week, Sean Mackey's made that left-back position his now. He's been brilliant. He really has. Just, and you know, we love Sean and the whole Sackey, and just, you know, from his first moment in the Falkirk jersey, that everyone will always go back to that tackle at Hibs where he absolutely went through. And we all love Sean for it. But he really has turned into a really good option on that left. And I think, without a shadow of doubt, is he will be playing that left-back role till the end of the season now.
I would assume so, unless John decides that he is going to mix it up a bit at some of the games. We've obviously got just the one midweek game, actually, now that I think about it. But he has. He's the last few weeks, as he did last year. Remember last year, he was at the team almost all season, then came in the last 7 or 8 games.
It was unbelievable.
That's what got him the contract. John McGlynn.
I remember Sean being so, so good in those last few games. Sean, we keep raining superlatives on all these players, but I think it's so well deserved after that performance, Ross.
Yeah, massively. 100%. There wasn't a bad player. There was not one player that you thought didn't have a great game. And we've been so, so consistent now for the last few weeks. And we're coming into our game at the right time, as we've talked about on social media. Other teams are obviously not on as good a form just now. So
we had our blip at the turn of the year there. You know, we had a wee blip, and then obviously we had the bit of the Arfield effect, and it's kind of boosted us on from there, apart from the Hamilton game.
Yeah.
You can see Aaron Livy are having that wee blip. They had theirs earlier on in the season, and we've had one. Just hope we don't have a second blip between now and the end of the season. Talked about just about every player on the park, but let's talk about one man right now. Big sexy himself, Mr. Tom Lang. And back on the score sheet. Had a chance just before he scored, but then the big man, brilliant header, wee looping header into the corner of the net, and Big Tom is back. And again, I can't, talking about Rain Supel, it was, I love the big man. You know that. Everyone knows that.
I know.
But he's, like I say, just brilliant. And you see what I talk about when I talk about the aggression, what he offers. That celebration, and I don't know if you've seen it, or if we've actually put it on our social media, which Ruby caught when he ran over to the videographers and just ran up. fucking yes, come on.
It was brilliant. The only thing that let his celebration down was the wee gay dance with with Hendo.
What was that?
I'm assuming it's something to do with a computer game or something. Maybe
Fortnite. Are we playing Fortnite with each other or something like that? But yeah. I think we've talked about our upturn at success. Now we can put a lot of the feet of Scott Arfield, I guess. But I really do think putting that triangle of Hendo, Call and Tom back together, how we went invincible last season has been really key in that. I think Cole Donaldson's really, he's come back, he took a wee while to get going again, but Cole's back to his very best. I think certainly playing alongside the big handsome fella beside him.
They're all helping each other, the big
man being in there and just offering what he does in terms of, like I talk about, that passion, that aggression, that willingness to win everything, I think really helps. And we talked a few weeks ago about Dylan getting rested and maybe putting Hendo back in the midfield. I think it's really worked and picked up the team.
Yeah, no, it has. The three of them are just working so well, because obviously Hendo does do a lot of the defensive work as well as Cole and Tom.
And scores goals.
I think, as you said, it's almost like the perfect storm in a positive way, though. They're all coming back. They're all in the team at the right time. I think it will be very interesting to see Tom Lang and Cole with Hendo in the middle against Livingston next Tuesday as well. I think that that's going to set a different tone to our matchup against Livingston next week.
I do think having Tom and Hendo back in there and what they offer in terms of their aggression will suit going up against someone like Livingston. We're talking about another four different goal scorers, Ross. Now, people point the finger saying the strikers, haven't really fired this season for Falkirk. But when you look at it, we don't really need to. I'm just looking down the scorer chart just now. So, top scorer in the league, George Oakley and Brian Graham both got 13 goals. Chris Kane, surprisingly, though he's the only person that seemed to score for Dunfermline. We'll talk about Michael Tidson in a minute. Chris Kane's on 10. Our top scorer currently is Brad Spencer, who's got 8 goals, right? But then you go down, you've got Calvin Miller on 6, Liam Henderson on 6, Ethan Ross on 5, Alfie Agyeman on 5, Scott Arfield on 5. Yeah. You know what I mean? The goals have been spread throughout the team. Now, interestingly enough, not one striker is on that list. But
I'd rather have the goals spread about, though, would you not?
Yeah, because you're not relying. See, if Chris Kane was to get injured for Dunfermline, they're down.
Yeah, they're done.
You know, Oakley, Anton Dowds obviously started off the season flying and got injured. Oakley's kind of picked up the chalice and they brought in Curtis Main as well. But if Oakley gets injured for air, they're struggling as well for goals. But we spread those goals throughout the team. And obviously, the way we play plays into that as well. But it's really interesting to see, if we were to go up, touch wood, somewhere, it's interesting to see that it would be without that talismanic striker, which most teams need in this league to get up to the next level.
Yeah, no, we've not needed it. It would obviously be a bonus if a player's getting...
If Eamon Brophy could come into the side and bang in the hat-tricks right now until the end of the season, I won't complain, I'll be honest with you.
No, exactly. But I think every player in this squad, John, is going to be really useful between now and the end of the season, because we are going to have games where we are going to need to mix it up and change it up. We've got Saturday and then Tuesday. I think... Potentially, I wonder if he may well. I'm not convinced it will be same as the last couple of weeks on Saturday. I wonder if he may make a tweak or two with Tuesday in mind. Maybe he won't. But I just think we will need to use the squad in these last 7 games.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom rounded off the 4-0 win. I think, Alfie came on again, did Alfie things.
Terrorised them.
Absolutely made an impact in the game. It's just I love for Alfie as well. Just comes on even against Dunfermline, the last cameo, he just gets the ball at the corner.
Go and run.
Yep, exactly. Go and run, Alfie. But coming away 4-0 performance, and it was some performance from the Bairns. One of the best of the season. It was certainly matched. You know, I think you look at performances of the season, Ross. You know, you go back to April when we played Airdrie away the first time. I thought we were phenomenal that day. Queen's Park at Hamden. I know we didn't win by much, but we were brilliant that day as well. Mm. Other performances, seasons for you?
It's up there that we were relentless for the 93 minutes that was played. Not a wasted performance either. So yeah, it's definitely up there. And it might, because of other results as well, it may well go down as one of the most important weekends we have all season.
Well, we've got a big weekend ahead, which we'll talk about in a minute. But let's get seeing what you guys are saying. William kicks off saying, what a weekend. Thoroughly dominating performance from the boys. And 70 years of heart washed away on the Tyne. Oh, yeah. Can we talk about Newcastle winning the cup? I'm a Newcastle supporter. So I know Mr. Sean Elderbrand, who is Falkirk TV commentator, was actually at the game as well. I was very jealous when I saw his pictures on Instagram. Brilliant weekend seeing Newcastle lifting the trophy as well.
The train yesterday coming back from a work trip was just full of drunk, hungover Geordies coming back from London. It was an interesting smell on the...
I worked down here for several years and they're a great club and a great bunch of people. So I was delighted for all my Newcastle supporting mates to see that happen on Sunday. Anyway, back to Falkirk. William says, Barney's so unlucky not to score and hope his injury isn't serious. Win the four home games and we are there.
Indeed. Yendelbairn says, can we fault anyone? Results going our way and we do our bit. The perfect Saturday. Miller was tremendous.
Yeah, Ali says, keeper was behind his line for the second disallowed goal. Brilliant team performance. That just kept getting better as the game went on. Four great goals today, and it was the first time I've seen Falkirk win at Hampden in person. Hopefully not the last. Come on, you Bairns.
Indeed. Callum says, 8 points clear. Tough couple of games still to play, but both Scott Brown and Martindale seem to have conceded the league, which is right. They both can, comments-wise at the weekend anyway. We just need to keep doing more of the same. Choo-choo.
I don't like that, though. I saw Martindale 10 days ago, or just before he made the interview, was saying, oh, we're still going for first, da-da-da, and then basically concede the league. If you've seen his post-match interview there at the weekend there. Mm-hmm. It's just mind games for me. It's absolute mind games to get in
the
head.
You think he's clever enough for that? I don't think he is.
Nah, but it is ours. And like you say, we're only four wins away from winning the league, and that's in our own hands, you know, without looking at what, you know, because Aaron Livingston, something's going to have to give there as well. So yeah, it was a huge weekend in the title race. Absolutely huge.
It was.
Vaughan says, dominant control performance. Could have been 4-0 up at halftime. What a team. What a day. Let's keep it going and get this train to its final destination.
Indeed. Chris says, everyone was outstanding today, but Calvin Miller was sublime in everything he did. Gary Oliver's football IQ is off the charts. Currently upgrading my Wayne train ticket to third class.
Brilliant. I really hope this song was sung at Hampden on Saturday, and if it isn't, ultras take note right now. Ben says, don't you wish your left back was Sean Mackey?
Don't you?
Is that a sing?
I didn't hear it. Do you know, Saturday was a wee bit weird as well. There was loads of singing, loads of chanting, right? But the job's worth at Queen's Park, John. I don't know if you know this, but they banned the drum, they banned the megaphones, they banned everything.
We spoke to a couple of the Queen's Park supporters, the guys over the Spiders Talk podcast. Mm. There's been such a fight between the club and the supporters this week and season in terms of all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It seems to be, it's like, come on, guys.
Do you know what was also confirmed at the weekend, though, John, was they are committed to 100% being at Lesser Hampden next season. So how that works in the Championship, assuming they're still in the Championship,
is it's a 1,200 capacity, is it?
That's insane. So hopefully it's not a problem. But yeah, it's just a weird club, like a very, very weird club. Listen, we'll leave them to it. But the ultras did a very, very good job considering they didn't.
Don't you wish your flip back was Sean Mackey? I love that. Absolutely love that. That could be our next sing along for the end of the season at Falkirk Daft Life 4. It's not We Are the Champions.
Love it. And then last but not least, he has been absent for a wee while.
Has?
Willie Stroker does say, think it's time it returned. Queen's Park got cummed on.
They certainly did. They certainly did. And Callum Davidson losing his job right after that. It seemed like on full time whistle he was giving his jotters. So I mean, that actually a bit of a voyeur, because I went and listened to the Spiders Talk podcast today to see what their reaction was to the game, and also to Callum Davidson. Not happy. Not happy. And you see within the statement that, you know, the talk about youth setup, word on the street is, you know, that I think they're wanting to bring in just a lot of youth players into Queen's Park, you know. But when you looked at it last season, they got themselves out of trouble by signing the likes of Killian Sheridan and Sean Welsh and stuff, players like that. So, you know, and at the moment, they've got all these, you know, I'd actually, from a Queen's Park perspective, what did you make of, you know, they had people, Adam Montgomery, the boy Divine from Rangers, Leon King, who was playing Champions League football last season, you know, and it's all these loany players, you know, but,
no,
what did you mean?
I think you've said before, John, when we're talking about Dunfermline, the trouble with loan players is, and it's not that they don't care, I'm not saying that, right? But I don't think, see, when you're in a fight, I don't think that's the players that you want.
Yeah.
We saw that with the Hartley season, didn't we? That's maybe a disservice to some of the loan players we got. But I think when you have a huge number of loan players, and I don't think they care as much. And but certainly on Saturday, we didn't see enough. They barely had the ball. So it was difficult to tell. And it was a very dominant performance. I thought it was harsh, the getting rid of him, to be honest.
Especially when a couple of weeks ago he managed them beating Rangers at Ibrox, you know.
And they've got a cup final next
weekend. Exactly.
Hopefully they do.
Hopefully they do, yeah. But yeah, and it's, and you know, Falkirk have just, when we get into our rhythm and get into our gear like we did on Saturday, no one can touch us in this league. I truly, truly believe that. If we can get into that rhythm and play like we did on Saturday, I don't think there's any better football team. I don't think there's any better team in this league. But you know, it's not all, it doesn't always happen that way. But on Saturday, we were just unbelievable, absolutely couldn't stop us. No team could have stopped us on Saturday in that championship. We were absolutely unbelievable. So yeah, you feel sorry for Callum Davidson. Seems like a bright young manager. I'm sure, pretty sure he'll, you know, who knows, could be the next Dunfermline manager. Let's talk about Michael Tidzer before we get into the Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty of the day. Michael Tidzer, Jesus Christ, 59 days in the job. 59, unbelievable. Friends over the water. What is going on? It seemed to take longer to get him in the door than it did to get him out the door.
It's a basket case of a club just now. It really is. They're on a downward spiral.
A lot of worried fifers, by the way. Lot of worried fifers now at this point.
Who I take it, have they given the job to, what's his name, Lanzarote John? Is that who they've given the job?
John McLaughlin, I believe. I think he'll be caretaker charge. No, Dunfermline don't have a game this weekend because, believe it or not, Dunfermline and Livingston, I've got international call-ups. So the game's been between Dunfermline and Livingston has been postponed this weekend due to the amount of international call-ups that Dunfermline have, which on paper sounds unbelievable. But yeah, that's what's happening this weekend. But Michael, I mean, you feel, again, no, you don't feel sorry.
I don't feel sorry for him because I've never liked him, right? However, I think it's harsh to get rid of a manager who's had no input really on the squad at all. I know they've brought in a few loanees and stuff, but the loanees they've brought in look actually to be better than what was there. So, but I think they are on a downward spiral. I know I took the piss out of Stephen Mill a couple of weeks back on here saying that Airdrie were the sort of form in there in the division. They were one of the form teams at the time. Granted, I know they lost to us, but they had a very, very brilliant comeback against Livy. I obviously hope we destroy them on Saturday, which might help Dunfermline.
It's an interesting conversation that Dunfermline supporters will be looking for us to do them a favour.
Sure they will, yeah. But I still think the gap between the two of them isn't that great, and Dunfermline's run of form is so, so poor. It's just an odd decision. I don't think that will change how their season goes. I genuinely don't.
I'm Stuart Kettlewell apparently has been vulturing around Dunfermline. He was a former coach there, and he's apparently been at the last few games. So be interested to see if he ends up there. And the thing is, Stephen, you know, who we spoke to on the podcast a couple of weeks, he says that they are got all the money in the world basically to throw at it next season as well. So be interested to see if they can stay in this league. It'll be a, and to see what happens there. But yeah, enough about Dunfermline, enough about Callum Davies, and let's talk about the Falkirk Daft rated play. Do you know, should we even talk about it? We're just going to give it straight to Calvin Miller.
I think it has to be. There's a number of players that could you could say for Saturday, but I think for his all-round performance, Calvin Miller, if I was to give it to someone else, I'd probably say Tom Lang.
Well, Calvin Miller gets it, I think. You mentioned Tom Lang there, Ross. Tell me more about Tom Lang, because I, you know,
just keep your hands above the desk.
We could take Calvin Miller off and we could put Tom Lang in. But no, I think Calvin Miller absolutely unplayable on Saturday. And first Falkirk Daft rated award of the season, which is hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, considering how consistent he's been and the amount of assists he's had as well. Yeah, that is a shock, actually. But, you know, he is another player that will play a big part in the last seven games.
Absolutely. You know, again, what I know about football, I was like, he's a lot better on the left. He's been outstanding on that right-hand side with his numbers, goals, and whatever he's contributing to the team. So well done, Calvin. Falkirk Daft rated player of the week. Dafty's going to the security guard who tried to stop Brad getting the armband to a child.
Has to be. Yep. What a job's worth.
Let's not beat around the bush. What a dick. That is really dickish behaviour.
Yeah, fair play to Stevie Hogan, who's one of the Falkirk security guys. He sort of pulled him away and said to obviously explain to him what he was doing. But just don't be a
twat. Well done, Stevie. Anyway, so yeah, Falkirk Daft of the week. I'm sure you'd be delighted to hear that. There's no guest pundits, so no Falkirk Daft verses this week. So let's head straight to look at Airdrie.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So Ross, Airdrie is up next on Saturday. I'm in hospitality.
You're forever in there these days.
I don't even start on that. Falkirk Daft sponsoring the captain's armband this weekend against Airdrie. I'm actually in there with one Celtic supporter and two Rangers supporters. I've dragged people from my work along to watch the Mighty Bairns, and my best mate Chippy, who listens to this podcast and has been on this podcast, being a Celtic supporter. So looking forward to it, really looking forward to it. It's always a good day out. But it'll even be a better day if we manage to get 3 points at home. But you know me, Ross.
I know what you're going to say here.
My worry is, I worry, Ross, we're only 4 wins away from winning this league. And this is the kind of game that you look at and go, right, there's how many points between us and Airdrie? I'm just working this out. 42 points between us and Airdrie. But they've won 2 of their last 6, have drawn. They're an okay run of form, Airdrie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought we did really well at their place a couple of weeks back. Yeah. We usually speak to Colin from the OTL, but we just thought we played them a couple of weeks ago. So we kind of know where Airdrie are. We've seen them recently as well. Mm-hmm. But you can't ignore that great result they got against Livingston at the weekend.
They did, and obviously they had beat Accies the week before, so they're on a bit of a high since they played us. However, if we turn up, if we play our A game, if we do what we know we can do, it will be 3 points come 4:45. I know, I can understand why you're nervous. It's top v bottom, it's Falkirk, but this feels, and we've said this before, John, this feels like a different Falkirk the last couple of seasons, and if we don't win on Saturday, I don't think we will lose, put it that way. But I don't think we will. I think Falkirk will claim the 3 points on Saturday. I'm not saying I'll be comfortable, but I think we will. And if we do, and I know this is me counting my chicken nuggets before I've looked under my chips, but we could go to Livingston.
What saying is that? I've never heard that in my life.
Of course that's a saying. Of course that's
count my chicken nuggets before I looked under, eat my chips. Is that what you just said?
I said I said I'm not counting my chicken nuggets before I've looked under my chips.
Jesus Christ.
That's a tad anyway, right. So that's my train of thought. Yeah, we could be going. We could be going to Livingston on Tuesday night with an 11-point gap. I know Martindale alluded to this in his post-match interview as well. He obviously expects Falkirk to beat Airdrie. And for that to happen. It's just a big couple of days. It's a big couple of games. And I'm here for it. Like everybody's just looking forward to the next thing, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I fully trust John McGlynn and the boys to do this, but it will be tough. There will be tough moments in the next 7 weeks. Well, maybe not. It depends on how long this goes, right? We could find ourselves, and I know this is, we made a joke about it last week. I'm hoping and praying we can, a set of results means that we could potentially win the title on the 5th of April before I actually leave to go on holiday. That would be lovely. However, there's loads of ifs, buts, and maybes in there for that to happen. But the main thing is we need 3 points on Saturday against Edra.
Yeah, do you see much change in the side? I know you spoke about it earlier, thinking you might use the squad a bit more.
I don't know if John McGlynn is the type of guy to have one eye on another game, because they are very much, this is the game we need to play. So, do you know what? I've probably talked myself out of too many changes, if any, for that reason. I think he will just be looking at Airdrie. I don't think he'll be looking at Livingston just yet. Unless someone has a knock, for instance, Barney. If Barney's still not 100%, will he not even risk him and keep him for Tuesday night? Potentially.
I think potentially he might against Livingston, you know. Does he then bring in Ross? Does he bring in Gary? Does he bring in Eamon Brophy?
I think it has to be Gary Oliver based on his performance on Saturday. But you're right, we do have options there. We've lost two players to international fixture this week, so Luke Graham will be missing, Miller Thompson will be missing. Good players to have, absolutely good players, first team players that you can rely on. But we do have strength and depth as well.
I mean, you feel sorry for Luke's obviously returned to us on loan, but putting Tom and Cole back together, putting the band back together, back's just limited a wee bit. You know, we obviously tried the experiment of it left back, but as we say, Sean Mackey's really made that his position now. I hope Darryl O'Connor's maybe fit, so we've got some defensive cover, but if not, we've got Hendel that we can drop back in as well.
We do, but then remember, we've got Finn Yates on the bench, so Finn could go in at right back, Keelan can move over, Sean Mackey can go into centre half.
That's true, that's very true.
Left back. So we do have options there that we can play about with if needed.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I can see maybe I'm using the squad a wee bit more. I mean, it's a shame that obviously Mel Thompson and Luke aren't available, but as you say, we've maybe not got the cover. The thing is, like, if you need to do something on the left, you can move Calvin over to the left, move Alfie into the right as well. So you've got options. The good thing is this squad is quite dynamic and who you can play and where you can play them. I wonder if if Barney's got to not make that change up top, I wonder if he'll just change something in the midfield and maybe put Dylan into midfield potentially.
Is Dylan back from his injury? I don't know if he is.
Yeah, but maybe not. Actually, he's got a couple of weeks to go, so would he rest Hendo? No, he wouldn't rest Hendo.
I think unless he has to, I don't
maybe
think.
Maybe Aidan for Scott.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. He obviously, he did that against Airdrie midweek a couple of weeks ago. He granted Scotty had a wee knock, but Tuesday's a big game, but Saturday's the first big game. Yeah. One game at a time.
They're all big games, Ross.
They are big games, but it's one game at a time. That has to be the mantra. One game at a time.
I know. I really hope we can. It's just that way. You know what I'm like. Last season, I was just like, well, no one in the league, and we're like miles ahead of it, and anything can happen. I just worry, Ross. I know you're very confident. The Wayne train's been rolling all season for you. I'll still get on board. However, I will admit to this, if we win against Airdrie and we get something at Livy, I might jump on at the platform. Yes. So
just the platform, not the train. You're actually just you're gonna fit stick the platform.
I might get onto the platform and then decide if I'm on the train or not.
We're even out there in the waiting room or standing in
I'm standing at the escalators just now waiting to go to the platform. But no, I do think if we were to win on Saturday and get a draw at Livingston, I can't see Ayr and Libby putting together a run that would match us. So yeah, I'll say that. We'll see where we are come Sunday when we record the next Falkirk Daft podcast and the one after that. So we'll see how we are. Right, okay. So it's on towards Airdrie on Saturday. What do you think the score's going to be, Ross?
I'm going to be really conservative again. I'm going to say 2-0 Falkirk, but anyone will do. Like, I'll take a 1-0 off the backside of someone. Anyone will do. But 2-0, I'll go. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think Rhys McCabe's going to be... this could potentially be the clean sweep over Airdrie this season. Airdrie, of course, they've only had 5 wins this season, 6 draws, 18 losses. That is right, is it? That's right. I'm going to have to back a Falkirk win. I'm going to have to back a... You know what? Fuck it. 4-0.
I really hope you just being overconfident doesn't come back and bite us.
Oh, no, it won't. Oh, Ross, you've got me worried again.
So cautious all year. I fully expected you to go 1 each or something.
Oh, no. If we turn up like we did on Saturday and we turn up against Airdrie like that, they won't be able to live with us.
You say you've got 2 Rangers fans coming with you?
I do, yeah.
Hopefully their negativity doesn't influence anything on the park.
I hope not. They're obviously desperate for Scott Arfield to get man of the match as well. If the Rangers supporters sponsoring the match, I'm pretty sure whatever he does, as we saw against Dunfermline, he won man of the match anyway. Let's see what happens come Saturday. Hopefully we're back here talking about 3 points to the Bairns, and then we'd be 11 points clear of Livingston. Airplane this week.
Hamilton
are fighting down at the... I mean, Hamilton have got something to fight for. I mean, there's again support. They're a basket case of a club this season as well. They're all over the place. Supporters have wanted Rankin out all season. They wanted him out when he was in League One as well. But they really need to get something, probably here, to try and stave off Dunfermline.
Hopefully they do. Come on, the Ackies.
Aye, exactly. I'm on the Ackies. Game day on Saturday. Get yourself down to the stadium. We'll see you there.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft. This is maybe a quick one. I'm looking at my watch now. We've been recording for like well over an hour and 15 minutes now. God, my wife's going to kill me. So it's now 10 o'clock and I'm still in work. But before we go, I've got to say thank you to everyone that listened to the end of the show and have joined the Sabatino Damasus Roll of Honour. And those people are Gary Wallace, Jamie Douglas, Phil Linus, James Duffy, Joe, Dell and Archie. Not as many on the Sabatino Damasus Roll of Honour this week. So let's test you with another one. Have you listened to this point in the podcast? Are you still with us? And if you are, tweet us or message us with the following name, Ross Wayne.
Well, you mentioned a few players earlier.
Oh, I think I know who you're going for here.
That I have not heard much of in recent years, right? And I've been to-ing and fro-ing because I thought you might ask me, but I think we'll go with Mr. Blaine Rowe.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the toe, Tom Owen Evans.
Nah, we'll go with Blaine Rowe.
The current right back, Stourbridge right back, Blaine Rowe.
Indeed.
There we go. So Blaine Rowe, message us, Blaine Rowe. Again, I thought he was decent when he was with us.
He wasn't one of the worst. He was all right.
So Blaine Rowe, it was only a couple of seasons ago he was with us. So yeah, Blaine Rowe to get onto the Roll of Honour for next week. And thanks very much for everyone contributing. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching from my Amsterdam boudoir. Which is the Greatest Hits Radio studio. Remember, get merch. I noticed you put a a post about the merch, Ross.
I did. So your appearance in you and Cameron's seat on the Big Scottish Football Podcast made me remember that actually your T-shirt that you rocked is available at Pints and Prints. There may well be a new addition to the Falkirk Daff range on Pints and Prints very, very soon.
Two new additions.
Two new additions. There we go. So watch this space, but they are available. Your Falkirk 316 effort, and then every other. Shout out to Gordon, who was obviously at the last Falkirk Daff Live. He shared loads of pictures. There was loads of people at the live event with his Pints and Prints t-shirts on, not just the Falkirk Daff one either, the Scotty Arfield one, the Shuttle t-shirts, loads of them available. So yeah, brilliant. But yeah, Falkirk Daff range, we've tweeted out earlier this evening.
Yeah, and you can also get Falkirk Daft on anything you possibly want in the world at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. That is our Spreadshirt shop. Basically, dog bibs, bibs, baby grows, hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, cups, everything you want Falkirk Daft on. If you want to be a Falkirk Dafty at work, head to merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, or you can be a Falkirk Dafty in the house, or your dog can be a Falkirk Dafty, or your baby can be a Falkirk Dafty. Jump on board the Wayne train, head to merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and we'd love to see a few of your pictures, so tweet us them or send us them.
John, I'm thinking, if you're up for it, because I know we're talking about going, but the complete Stone Roses gig at the end of the month, are we thinking we could maybe rock a Pints and Prints t-shirt that night as well?
Absolutely. And still, there's tickets still on sale for Stone Roses at Behind the Wall, 29th of March. That is happening. Restless Natives tickets are still on sale there as well. Obviously, Behind the Wall sponsor this podcast, and we thank them dearly for it. And we thank Brian and the team for having us every time we do a Falkirk Daft Live. Really looking forward to going back there for Falkirk Daft Live 4. Remember, stay local, eat and drink global. Get yourself a Falkirk Daft Venom. I will be in Behind the Wall. I am taking the boys from my work, not only to the game, but I'm also taking them up to Behind the Wall after the game, and I'm making them sample a Falkirk Daft Venom. So I'll be in there Saturday after the game on the Venoms. And remember, they have Falkirk's best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales. £5 for the home games if you're heading down to the Airdrie game. I think there's maybe spaces on the bus.
There's two buses running for Airdrie, yep. And there's still some spaces for Livingston away on Tuesday night as well.
Yeah, and you'll get, so that's £5 and you get your drink when you get back up to the bar. Falkirk Daft Venoms are not included in that offer, by the way. You just need to get a pint or something behind the bar. And you can head down to the away game at Ayr as well. That's £12.50, however. But the same offer applies. So get yourself on the bus for that. And a big shout out to our man, Andy Haxton, the fine drummer that he is. He plays in a band called Parley Ammo. We've spoke about them on this podcast loads. They are going to be in Behind the Wall on the 26th of April, which is the day of the Thistle game. So they're going to be upstairs behind the wall. Andy, as I said, always drums in a Falkirk top. So you'll be able to go and see Andy and Parley Ammo. They're brilliant. Check them out on Spotify or wherever you listen to your music. They're really, really good. And they're going to be playing on the 26th of April. Now, that potentially could be a big day. Second last game, that potentially could be a big day for Falkirk. And if it is going to be mental and behind the wall that night. So it should be a crazy gig. But tickets are available for that. Go along, support Andy and the rest of the guys that are in Parley Ammo. Brilliant, brilliant band. So head on to Behind the Wall for that. All the details, behindthewall.co.uk. And that is us tying a bow on it. I want to get down the road before I get a divorce, though she'll be in her bed now. So I'll be tumbling down the road to get my dinner. I've got a pie sitting there for me. They're out of date today, Ross, so I need to get them eaten. So I'm going to have a pie and beans for my dinner. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm
You're
not
such a rock and roll star, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. My word. You know, it's just all rock and roll in my world. Pie and beans for my dinner, and I'll maybe treat myself to a wee cream egg or something.
I don't know
what I'm watching the telly as well. I have to work out that. She's in her bed, so something that I like. You know how you get with you've got. I've got our together programs, and we've got to watch together. I'll find something that probably the wrestling, Ross. Let's face the facts. I heard John Cena cut an amazing promo on Raw last night, and we're back to wrestling chat. I'll stop that right now. Rain that in. Right, okay. Enjoy your week, everyone. We'll see you, Airdrie. We'll see you back here on the podcast Sunday, Monday, whatever. We'll get it out. We'll try be a bit more more on time this time. But the Wayne train is still rolling. Falkirk are 8 points clear at the top of the league. And let's leave you with these words from Ross Wayne.
It's unexpected, buddy. Morning, Burns.
We're Falkirk up. We're Falkirk up. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk up. We're Falkirk up. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk up. We're Falkirk up. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk up. We are Falkirk up.